This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning everyone. Bruchim Abam, welcome to Kollel Agra DePirka here on Zoom conference call, wherever you may be. But Baruch Hashem, we have the schus to come and learn together. Parshas Bahaloyscha. We have at the end of the parsha a very interesting episode, actually an episode that we remember every day. The episode of Miriam, where the pasuk says, Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe al oidois ha'isha ha'kushis asher lakach, regarding the Cushite woman that Moshe took, ki isha chushis lakach. Moshe took a Ethiopian woman, a black woman, literally. And Rashi's bothered, what does it mean? Moshe did not take an isha kushis. Tzipora came from Midian, and Rashi says, just like when you see someone who's a kushis, there's no question as to her color, so too, Moshe's wife, there was no question as to her beauty. The same way, Kuleyami loy pligi, that a kushis is a kushis, so too, regarding Tzipora, she was isha yifas tayar. Fine. And what did they say? Vayomru, and they said, harak ach b'moshe diber Hashem. Did God only speak to Moshe? Haloi gam banu diber, God spoke to us as well, vayishma Hashem. So this is considered the Lashon Hara of Miriam on Moshe. What exactly did they say? They said as follows. They said, look, we're Nevi'im, Avraham was a Navi, the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to many Nevi'im throughout history, and none of them had to separate from their spouse. So who does Moshe think he is that he's separated from Tzipora? In other words, they equated Moshe to the Shar Nevi'im. They said Shar Nevi'im, they did not have to disrupt marital life. They could have they maintained their spiritual status, and they were able to have family life. So why does Moshe think he's better than Shar Nevi'im? Now, if we would have written the next pasuk Chas V'Shalom, obviously it's not possible, then perhaps we would have wrote, but Moshe Rabbeinu was taka greater than Shar Nevi'im. In other words, their Lashon Hara was, they downgraded Moshe. By the way, from here we learn, the Chafetz Chaim derives, that if you say about a great Talmid Chacham or a Gadol, he's not mamish one of the Gedolei Hadar, or if you downgrade him, or you say he's not the Gadol Hadar, he's rank number two or something like that, if you don't properly evaluate a great Gadol, that's also Lashon Hara, because can you imagine what already did they say about Moshe? They said, he's not greater than Yeshaya Hanavi. He's not greater than Avram Avinu. Not so bad. Halavai about everyone, they should say such things. But still, they did not equate him properly. So we perhaps would have wrote in the next pasuk, Vayish Moshe, Gadol Ma'od, Hayanavi Ma'od. Why does the pasuk then say in response, Vihaish Moshe, Anav Ma'od, Mikoil Ha'adam, Asher Alpnei Ha'adamah? Why is that the response to the Lashon Hara of Aaron and Miriam? It is definitely true. Certainly Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Anav, but what does that have to do with the Lashon Hara that Aaron and Miriam spoke? So the Chafetz Chaim interprets this smichus, that what the pasuk is trying to say is that the pasuk is explaining how severe Lashon Hara is. Because ultimately Miriam Hanaviyah was punished terribly for speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe, and that is she became a Metzora, and Klal Yisrael could not travel for 7 days, and until she basically was publicly humiliated knowing that everyone was waiting for her. And even though the Chafetz Chaim, quoting the Lashon of the Rambam, she didn't speak about a stranger out of hatred. She spoke about her own brother, that she loved like her soul, and she raised him, and she endangered her life to save him from the water. And she didn't put him down. She just equated him to Shar Nevi'im. And she didn't speak in his presence to embarrass him, only privately. And then, says the Chafetz Chaim in the Psicha, Vehu loy hikpid al ka advar ma'elu. You would think Lashon Hara is only usur if the person who you're speaking about is makbid about what you say. But Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't makbid. How do I know? The very next pasuk is, Va'ish Moshe anav ma'ayid. So the Chafetz Chaim is learning that the smichus of the psukim is that Miriam spoke about Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu, it didn't bother him. He wasn't insulted by it. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest anav who ever lived. So that, according to the Chafetz Chaim, is the smichus of the psukim. But what we would like to explore today is perhaps a new possibility. Why, in response to the Lashon Hara of Moshe Rabbeinu, does the Torah say, "Va'ish Moshe anav mi'ayid mikol adam asher al pnei ha'adama"? We all know that the mountain that the Ribbono Shel Olam selected to give the Torah on was Har Sinai. And why did the Ribbono Shel Olam give the Torah on Har Sinai? In other words, what was unique about Har Sinai that the Ribbono Shel Olam selected it as the mountain to give the Torah? It was certainly not the most majestic, the tallest mountain. So Gemara Megillah says, Darsh Bar Kapara, what does it mean? Lama Taratzdan Harum Gavnunim? That Abbas Kol went out and Abbas Kol said, why do you even contend with Har Sinai? You are all reckoned as Balei Mumin. You're all considered handicapped next to Sinai. Here it says Gavnunim, and it says by the various Mumin, Gibein Oidak. Says the Gemara, from here we see Hayman Diyahir Bal Mumhu. One who is arrogant, he is imperfect. A arrogance is a mum, it's an imperfection, it's a handicap. So we learn from here that the reason the Ribbono Shel Olam selected Har Sinai is because of Har Sinai's humility. It was the most humble of all the mountains. And in fact, the Gemara Megillah says that if we would have to pinpoint a specific characteristic or character trait or personality trait that the Ribbono Shel Olam appreciates and likes more than anything else, it would be humility. Like the Gemara says, wherever we find the greatness of Hashem, we find His humility. This is mentioned in the Chumash, repeated in the Nevi'im, and thrice repeated in the Ksuvim, that wherever we see God's greatness, we immediately after that, we see His humility. Like it says, Koyama Ram Benisa, Shaychenad V'Kadosh, and right after it says, Daka U'Shefal Ruach. And in fact, probably the most well-known words in all of Tar Shabbat Peh, and certainly in all of Mishnayos, Moshe Kibel Torah Mi Sinai. Moshe was Mekabel Torah from Sinai. And Tosfos, in the Tosfos Chadashim, asks that really this is incorrectly formulated. It should say Moshe Kibel Torah Bis Sinai. Moshe accepted the Torah at Sinai. But not Mi Sinai. Moshe didn't get the Torah from Sinai. What, Sinai grew arms and the mountain handed the Torah to Moshe? Moshe stood on our Sinai. You should say Moshe Kibbutz Torah Bis Sinai. What does it mean, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi Sinai? So the Tosfos Chadashim says that the word Mi Sinai, the Mem in Mi Sinai, is causative. Shiratzoloimar Machmas Sinai. Like in the Pasuk, Mem mi Sinai kamay mechatas nevi'eha, which means because of the sins of her prophets. Sometimes the letter mem is a causative. In other words, Moshe was mekabel the Torah because of Har Sinai, because of the humility that he learned from Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was mekabel the Torah, and the Tfaras Yisrael says Moshe shaya anav ma'id aidei zeh, he was mekabel the Torah. That is Nimshal Lamayim. So again, we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one selected to be Mekabel the Torah, not because he was the greatest Talmud Chacham, not because he was the greatest Lamdin, not because he was the greatest Baki, not because he was the greatest Mashpia, speaker, or any other quality you could imagine. Moshe was the Noisei HaTorah for one specific reason, and that is he was the greatest Anav. Where did he learn that from? He learned it from Har Sinai. Who else in our history is called our Rebbe? We know Moshe is called Moshe Rabbeinu. Who else is called our Rebbe? Rebbe. Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, he's the only person in history who is given the title Rebbe. Well, what do we find about Rebbe? Mishameis Rebbe Batel Anova. When Rebbe passed on, humility ceased. Or the Gemara in Horia says on Daf Yodalad that, remember Rav Meir? Rav Meir was titled Achirim because of an episode that happened that they tried to dismiss Rav Shimon Gamliel. So they had to dismiss Rav Meir and they called him Achirim. And the Gemara says, even Rebbe, who's an Anav, he referred to Rav Meir as Achirim. Amar Rav Afilu Rebbe Da'anva Sanahu. So again, we see that the title humility is specifically associated with Rebbe. Or the Gemara in Gittin says, in the Bezdin of Rebbe, they always started asking the the smallest dayan first. This was, in other words, in dinei mamonos, we typically start from the gadol. Dinei nefashos, you start min atzad. In the bezin of Rebbe, you always start min atzad. Tosfos explains that mishum anova shloi laharis atzad gadol hoya oisa. That the reason Rebbe did it is out of his humility. So it's to me, it's a very striking thing. There are two people in Jewish history who are given the title our rabbi, our Rebbe, our teacher, and both of them specifically, the Torah Shebichsav about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah Shebapeh Rebbe. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Torah Shebichsav, and the Torah is made. He was Anav Mikol Adam. Rebbe was the redactor of the Torah Shebapeh, and the Gemara is made. He was the greatest of the Anavim. So this brings us to a very interesting subject. We've spoken about this in the past, and that is an observation of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel was born in 1859. He was nifter in 1920. He was the Av Bezdin of Krakow. And for all you Krakonians or Krakow aficionados or Krakow fans out there, today is Krakow Day. Rabbi Yosef Engel was the Rav in Krakow. He was the Goin Adir, Charif Ubaki, B'chol Chadri Torah. He knew all the Sifrei Kabbalah, all the Sifrei Chassidus. He wrote many, many great Sfarim, the Asvan Dairaisa, the Lekach Toiv, the Beis HaOitzer, Gvurai Shmoinim, Tziyunim La Torah, Bein Pairas, Oitzres Yosef, Gilyoni Hashas, Choysen Yosef. And Rabbi Yosef, I had the privilege to travel to a country just for one reason. I went to Vienna just to be able to be at the zchus, have the zchus to be at the kever of Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel is observes an incredible diuk, and that is, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, there is an expression that we find utilized by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi that we don't find by any other Tana, and that is, let's look in Megillah, in number 12, Rabbi Oimer, Rabbi says, Oimer ani, I say. Rabbi Oimer, Oimer ani, I say. Now what does this mean, I say? Obviously I say. I mean, if someone's talking, then nobody else could be saying anything. What does Rabbi mean, I say? Why I say? Why does he introduce his statement that way? Rabbi says, I say. For example, in Kedushin, Daf Tes, Rabbi Oimer, Oimer ani, ani harishoin. Harishoin beskila. Gittin Lamenches, Rabbi Oimer, Oimer ani, afu noisein dmei atzmai. Gittin Lamentes, Rabbi Oimer, Oimer ani, ein loy takon el bashtar. Gittin nun beiz, erichin yud zayin, erichin chavdala, tainis daf beiz. Rabbi Oimer, Oimer ani, mishosh shemafsik l'sheila, kach mafsik l'hazkara, daf yud zayin in tainis, sanhedrin chav beiz, psachim ayin hei, baba kama kuf yud dalet, chulin chav dalet, krisus yud ches, yuma pe alef, baba basra kuf nun dalet, Megillah dalet amid beiz, Megillah twice on Dalet Amid Beis. Menachos Yedalet. Erevin Gimel Amid Beis. Even in the Yerushalmi and the Tosefta and other Svarim, Rebbe very often introduces his statement, Oimer Ani, V'loi Nimtza Kazeh, says Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Beis HaOitzar, L'shum Echad Mishar HaChachamim. We don't find not Rabbi Kiva, not Rav Tarfa, not Ram Gamliel, not Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai, saying, Oimer Ani. Except for in a few rare instances. Where? And as only Rabbi Yosef Engel could say, there's a Tosefta in Psachim Parak Ches. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Oimer Ani. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Oimer, Oimer Ani. Rabbi Yosef Aglili Oimer, Oimer Ani. And when Shas quotes it, it doesn't even say Oimer Ani. And in the Yerushalmi in Psachim Parak Tesayf Halacha Hey, it brings the memra of Rabbi Yosi Haglili Oimer Ani. But in general, as a rule, Rebbe frequently introduces his halachic rulings with the term Oimer Ani, and we don't really find any other Tana utilizing this expression Oimer Ani. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, in my humble opinion, Oimer Ani was shagur in the mouth of Rebbe because it was an expression of humility. As we've mentioned, Mishameis Rebbe Bat La'anava, Rebbe was the paragon, the semel of Anivos. In his Bezdin, they started from the side. Rebbe Anvesanaha, who? And therefore, Rebbe would never want to say, by the way, this is my opinion, you have to follow my opinion. Everyone, you know, everybody stop, drop, and be machniya to my opinion. So Rebbe would say, Oimer Ani, this is just my opinion, you don't have to follow it, I'm just expressing my viewpoint. This, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, was an expression of humility. In other words, I'm not tying anyone down to what I say. I'm not saying that anybody has to follow my opinion. I'm not saying follow my das, but kibel daiti. This is the predecessor, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, of what is called nira lafi anias daiti. This is sort of the first expression. This is where the basis of that expression of nira lafi anias daiti, that Rebbe, because he was so humble, utilized the expression oimer ani. But then Rabbi Yosef Engel says a Kabbalistic interpretation of Oimer Ani. And that is, the word Ani, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, is actually a holy word. The Mishnah says in Sukkah and Daf Mem, hey, every day they would encircle the Mizbeach. Sorry, I'm going to show this to you inside. Every day in number 14, B'chol Yoy Ma'kifin Es HaMizbeach Pam Achas. Every day they would encircle the Mizbeach one time. Va'oimrim ana Hashem Hoshiana, ana Hashem Atzlichana, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Oimer Ani. Excuse me, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Ani Vahoy Hoshiana. That every day they would encircle the Mizbech and they would say, Ani and Hoy Hoshiana. Now what in the world does that mean? Ani and Hoy Hoshiana? I and Hoy should help, please? What is this referring to? So Rashi and Tosis both say that Ani and Vehoi are both names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know there are three psukim in Beshalach, that each pasuk, these three psukim, contain 72 letters. And that is the Vayasa, Vayet, and what are the three psukim? Vayasa, Avayovoy and Vayet. These three psukim each contain 72 letters. From these three psukim that each contain 72 letters, you can make 72 different names of Hashem, utilizing the formula of what is known as Yosher, Hafuch, and Yosher. You take the first letter of the first pasuk, the last letter of the second pasuk, the first letter of the last pasuk, and you make the name Vahoy. Vahoy is the first name of Hashem. Ani is the 37th name of Hashem. Ani is, you take the 37th name letter of the first pasuk, the 37th to last of the second pasuk, the 37th of the third, and Ani is one of the names of Hashem. Vahoy and Ani are the two main names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, the Gemara says that Hillel HaZaken, when he would rejoice at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, he would say as follows, Im ani kan hakol kan. If I am here, everyone is here. What did he mean? Says Rashi. He was dorish to the Rabbim, that he didn't want anyone to sin in the name of Hashem. He would say, Im ani kan, if the Shechino is here, Ani is the name of Hashem. Ani v'ho yoshiana, im ani kan hakol kan. By the way, Marv Raboisai, this is a new pshat. Emein ani li mi li. If ani, if God is not with me, who is with me? Ani is one of the names of Hashem. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov always understood that every footstep, every action, every word was only through the capacity and the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every breath we take, every word we say, is only through the constant infusion of the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Rebbe, in his complete humility and recognition that every word he said was through the good graces of the Lord, he would say, Oimer Ani, you should know that even what I'm saying now, this is not my strength, this is not koichi va'itzam yadi, this is only through Oimer Ani, this is only through the chesed ha'el yoin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the This is the deeper meaning of what Rebbe said, Oimer Ani. Either it's Anira Lefi Ani as Daiti, or this is an expression of recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with his every footstep. So we have, let's read this over here. V'hinei lefi ha-mavur b'sifrei tamidei ha-besht ki derech anshei ha-maila ha-gadoilim lezboinein al-kol de-vireyim ha-maseim she'ein heim medabrim va'oisim k'ayach atzmam. Great people realize they don't do anything with their own strength. Ra'ak k'ayach eloi ki asher bohem uv'chol ha-nevroam. Like the pasuk says, v'ata mechaya es kulam hu ha-oisa chayel. God is the one who gives energy, which is the dibur v'chol ha-masim. Kitam, like we say, Hashem Sefasai Tiftach, Ufi Yagid Tehila Secha. Now, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, a complete whopper. We mentioned that there's only one Tana in all of Shas who, by his words, he uses the expression, Oimer Ani. Do we find the words Oimer Ani anywhere in Tanakh? And says Rabbi Yosef Engel, I searched through the whole Tanakh and amazingly I found it. Perek memhei lam natseach al shoshanim levnei koirach maskil shir yedidais rochash libi davar toiv Oimer Ani! Ah! Oimer Ani! We found the words Oimer Ani. And who uses the expression Oimer Ani? Rebbe. And let's see if there's any allusion to Rebbe in these psukim. Masai la melech. Who said you have to act for the king? Who said Ace la sois lashem? Who said because Torah was being forgotten, we need to violate the Torah to uphold the Torah? We need to violate the Torah and record the Torah Shabbat Peh. Rebbe. Oimer Ani, the one who would say Oimer Ani, Rebbe, you know what he would say? Masai la melech, you need to act for the king, es laso es lashem. And what do you need to do? Lishoini, my mouth, that the Tarshu Rapeh that I say with my mouth, eight soifer mahir, has to quickly, everything has to be written down. So this is an incredible, an amazing remez to Rebbe. Oimer Ani, the great Tana who would say Oimer Ani. Who's that? Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. When do we find that? How is this a remez to Rebbe? Masai lemelech, es lasa es lashem, l'shoini, the tar shebapeh, eight sofer has to be recorded. Now look at these words. Libi ends in a yud, davar ends in a resh, toiv ends in a bez, Rebbe. Seife Toives Rebbe, says Rabbi Yosef Engel, Lashoini is Gematria Yehuda Hanasi. So this is all the amazing observation of the Beis Ha'oitzar, Rabbi Yosef Engel, in this piece number 20, that he has discovered the words Oimer Oni in Tehillim in reference to the writing of the Tarshu Baal Peh with the remez to Rebbe, and Racha Lashoini is Yehuda Hanasi. So far, Marv Rabbeisai, our two greatest all-time luminaries, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, they are also the greatest humble men in our history. Who else, Marv Rabbeisai, can we say, besides Moshe and Rebbe, all of Klal Yisrael leans upon them? Perhaps we can make the case, the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo. Very interesting. The Chida and the Shem HaGadolim, he brings down in his entry of Rabbi Yosef Karoi, he says, V'da'ashe kibalti me'adam gadol, I have a tradition from a great person, B'chachma, V'yira, shekibel me'rav gadol, shekibel mizakenim, shenizgala b'dor maran, shahayu aramak v'ari v'chol kadosh imohem, siyata d'shmaya. I have a tradition from a great Gadol, as a tradition from a great Gadol, from the times of the Beis Yosef, the Ramak, and the Ari, She Yisrael lefi ador ha-yutzichim l'sefer hazeh, Klal Yisrael needed a book, She Yikabitz kol adinim, the Yigal ha-sharseyim. We needed a Shulchan Aruch. Uba oisei hador ha-yunim tzoyim, Shloisha rabbonim ruyim l'zeh. There were three people cut out for the job. Vehem, Rabbi Yosef Tachik, V'harav Maharival, Don't think the Rabbi Yosef Karo was the only one worthy. So why was Rabbi Yosef Karo Zoicha? Was he smarter? Was he a better writer? Was he a bigger Baal Halacha? Was he a bigger Masbid? Did he have more Yerush Shamayim? Lav Davka on any of them. The Hiskimu Menash Shamayim, the Tinos and Dasei De Marana Kadosh. Why? Mibnei and the Sanusai Hayasera. The Beis Yosef was Zoicha to write the Shulchan Aruch because he was the most humble. Like we could see from his Svarim. That when he needed to argue with somebody, he did not put down the one he argued on. De'ein derech maron l'saper b'gnus misha poisek d'loy kavasei u'mishnosoy s'mishchaseh. In other words, whenever if he needed to argue on a gadol, he would just cite their opinion without speaking derogatorily about them. So you say, look, you know, that's how compelling is that? I never heard of Rabbi Yosef Taitchik. I never heard of Ma'arival. Who were they? In other words, we're learning now that the Beis Yosef was selected over these two Gedolim because of his humility. Now, let's learn how great these other two Gedolim were. You want to know how great Rabbi Yosef Taitchik was? Let me just see one second. Where did it go? No, not that one. Okay, sorry. Never mind. Ignore that. Rav Yosef Tachik. Arboim shana lo yashan b'mita. He didn't sleep in a bed for 40 years. V'hoi yashan agabe teva. He slept on a box. V'raglav tuloyas. His feet were hanging and he got up at chatzos every night. Yeah, so you say, yeah, but the Beis Yosef had a malach who learned with him. V'hayalei magid, he had a malach too. Shehayalei maron, the same way the Beis Yosef did. So it's not that the Beis Yosef had, you know, better chavrusas or was holier. Rabbi Yosef Taitchik was a eminent chassid and tzaddik. In fact, the Reish Chachma writes about the importance of waking up at Chatzos to say Tikkun Chatzos. You know, obviously, this is perhaps L'mala Me'Madre Goseinu, but he says that the Chasidim and Anshe Maisa, the way they would get up at Chatzos is they would make an alarm clock, like a chicken. Or they would ask their friends to wake them up. He says Reishis Chachma, if these Tzaddikim and Chasidim needed chickens to wake them up and they could not be Soimech on their own inspiration, then Kavu Choymer, a person has to recognize if you have any shot at getting up in the morning, you got to set an alarm clock. Don't rely on the sunrise or the chickens crowing. He says, L'chein ani oymer, shemi she'en loy tarnagol. The first eitzah to say Tikkun Chatzos is get a chicken. You don't have a chicken, get a friend. You don't have any friends, then don't go to sleep. You say, how can I not go to sleep? Says the Reishis Chachma. Rabbi Yosef Taitchik didn't go to sleep. And by the way, the Chidon, his commentary to Pirkei Avos, also brings down for 40 years he didn't sleep on a bed, and he said Tikkun Chatzos. Okay, so again we're learning that the all-time great Gedolei Yisrael, if they had one common midah and one common attribute and personality trait, it was a midah of humility. The Stipler said in the generation of the Prima Gadim, there was another Gadol who composed the Sefer, and it's very interesting. But the Prima Gadim says the Stipler was Zoicha because of his great humility. The Prima Gadim, every halacha he says Tzarachion. And even when the Prima Gadim says Tzarachion, we follow him. We're Soimech on him. The other one, the other Gadol writes that he worked so hard in the halacha, you could be Soimech on him, and we don't rely on him. Isn't that ironic? Prima Gadim, he never definitively gives psak. He says Tzarachin, and we always rely on him definitively. And this other Gadol, he says you could rely on him, and we don't. Rabbi Kiva Eger, it says in the official biography of Rabbi Kiva Eger, that above and beyond all of his greatness and all of his midos, he excelled in the midah of anivos. He was ma'oid, ma'oid, shval ruach. Everybody knew about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If he needed a sefer, he never asked anybody to get it for him. He wouldn't ask anybody to do anything for him. And amazingly, he would never refer to his Talmidim as his Talmidim. He would call them Chavrusas, but he would never allow himself to say, oh, my student, my Talmud. That's not how Rabbi Akiva Eiger would speak. And over here, of course, we have the Lashon of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim in his Hakdama to Likutei Halachas and Kachim. Look at these words of the Chafetz Chaim. Anoichi Hashafal v'ha'ani b'toyro masim tovim. I, the lowly one, the humble one, she'eini yodea b'toyro afilu halacha achas al borya. I don't even know one halacha, truthfully. Ve'eini afilu mitzvah achas b'shleimusa. There's not even one mitzvah that I do in perfection, based on how we're commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ech ucha lifo benavshi shema sayhu ke'en masa arzei avonin. How could I approach writing a sefer as if I have a right to do such a thing? He says, Alach eskam v'kam anoichi apod v'ashafa. Shabotol anoichi be'echad me'alfei alofim neged haga'oinim arishayinim. I'm not even a thousandth, I'm butl a thousand times, can I get even one of the Rishayim? So again, this is a common hallmark of all the great Gedolei Yisrael, that the primary mark of godless of the Gedolei Yisrael was their great humility. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the Beis Yosef, the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Chafetz Chaim, this was their hallmark trait. One second, what did I do here? One second. Okay. Okay. So I want to just speak for a moment about the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. We said Moshe Rabbeinu's humility was greater than all the other Nevi'im. In what way? So the Gemara says in Chulin that Moshe Rabbeinu, when we say he was the greatest of all the Nevi'im, the Gemara tells us that there were three Anavim: Moshe, Avraham, and David. Avraham said, "V'anoichi afar va'efer, I'm dust." David says, "V'anoichi now dust." Dust is not the greatest thing in the world, but at the end of the day, it's something. It has tangibility. It has mamashus. It has reality. David HaMelech says, "V'anoichi toilas, I'm a worm." Okay, a worm is not the greatest of all the beings, but it's something. But Moshe said, "V'nachnu ma, what am I? I'm nothing." So there are three Anavim: Avraham, David, and Moshe. This is what it means, says the Shla. "V'ish Moshe Anav Ma'od mikol ha'adam, of all the Anavim, be it Avram, be it David, be it Moshe, Aleph Dalet Mem, of all the Anavim who ever lived, Moshe was greater even than Avraham and even than David." So, right now we're learning that there seems to be a very strong commonality between the humility of these Gedolei Yisrael and their greatness. So the question is this coincidental? Does it just happen to be that the greatest Gadol Moshe happened to be the greatest Anav? Does it happen to be that the greatest Anav Rebbe happened to be the greatest Tana? Does it happen to be that the greatest Baal Halacha, the Beis Yosef, happened to be the greatest Anav? So we come now to a Gemara in Tainus. The Gemara says, on Dav Zayin, Rabbi Chanina Bar Idi, Lama Nimshul Divrei Torah Lamayim. Why is Torah compared to water? Where is it compared to water? The pasuk says, "Hoy kol tzamei l'chulamayim." It's to tell you, just like water leaves a high place and always goes to the lowest point, water will always go to the lowest point. After v'ei Torah in meskaimin el b'misha daitoy shefela, Torah will only remain in someone who has a humble disposition. Says Reb Chaim V'lajner, "Dvarim ayumim." V'ha'inyin, ki al yedei ho'anava zoicha ha'adam hakoil. Through humility, a person is zoicha to everything. All of Moshe's godless, The Rabbeinu Yoina writes, the same way Moshe excelled in Anivus, he likewise excelled in every other character trait. He was the greatest Lamdin, the greatest Baki, the greatest Masbir, the greatest Yorei Shamayim, the greatest Boiteach. But what was the source of everything? His humility. He was the greatest prophet, but nowhere does it say he was the greatest prophet. He was the greatest chacham. Nowhere does it say he was the greatest chacham. Listen to this. Everything he was zocha is because of humility. Now the Rebbe Chaim makes an astounding statement. We know there is nobody who ever lived as great as Moshe. No Navi, no Chacham. But says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, you know why there's no Navi and there's no Chacham? Because there was never anyone as humble as Moshe. Ve'ilu haya achshav adam onav k'moshe. If there would be someone today as humble as Moshe, haya vaday zoicha l'tayra b'shleimos. Whatever limitations we have in Ruchnias is because to that extent we're challenged with humility. And he gives a mashal that for a person to be koina taira, they have to be a base kibbol, they have to be receptacle. But the bigger a person's ego and anoichi, that limits your capacity to be a base kibbol. Uchmai kli, like a vessel, kamasha, dafna, yoiser, dak, the thinner the walls of the receptacle, machsik yoiser, it retains more. Adshem tia keklipas Hashem, if the receptacle was as thin as a garlic shell, he kemad kula beis kibul, it would be entirely receptacle. Kein adam, likewise a person. Kol sharucha yoiser namach, the humbler you are, nishar b'yoiser makampani, there's more room left, ubeis kibul a taira, to be a receptacle to taira. So it's not that Moshe happened to be a great anav, and also happened to be the greatest person who ever lived. He was the greatest person who ever lived because his receptacle was at full capacity. There was no anoichi to interfere with him being a base kibbol for the Torah. So let us conclude with the following issue. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah on Har Sinai. And we know the reason why God gave the Torah on Har Sinai is because it was the most humble of all the mountains. But there's another mountain that, in a way, you could say God loves even more than Har Sinai. That this mountain was given even more prestige and more attention from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the mountain that we could say, Boy Bachar Hashem. This is the mountain Hashem selected. And this is not such a short mountain. This is a substantial mountain. Number 33, V'yesh la'ayin, D'lama b'achar HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'har ha'moriyah, li'os makam hashras ha'shchina, v'shar ha'shamayim. Why did God select Har HaMoriah? If God selects Moshe because he was the Anav, David because he was the Anav, Rebbe because he was the Anav, Beis Yosef, Har Sinai because of his humility, so why did God pick Har HaMoriah? And in a way you could say, Har HaMoriah was picked even more than Har Sinai. So this is mamish amazing. There's a Mishnah Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Kiva says, "I'm Rabbi Kiva, ani oivin va'adin. I will present and give over. Lefanecha kamakom sha'ata moitzei har gavoya ve'giva nesa. Anywhere in Israel that you see a tall mountain and a lofty hill, ve'etz ranon and a leafy tree, da sheyesham avodas kechavim." You should know the Kananim served every tree and mountaintop in Israel. They are all Mekoyme Avodah Zarah. So Tosis brings a Yerushalmi. Tosis wants to know. By the way, now we understood why God had to give us the Torah outside of Eretz Yisrael. Because every mountain in Israel was a Makam Avodah Zarah. But Tosis quotes Yerushalmi, but what about the Makam HaMikdash, the Beis HaBechira? B'Yushalmi parach mi beis habachira. U'masik. The Yushalmi says, don't worry. Alpi Navi haya nivnasham. It was based on the Navi. What do you mean based on the Navi? If a Navi tells you to do something that's improper, you can't listen to him. What do you mean that, how does Tosis mean from the Yushalmi that Har HaMoriah was utilized based on the Navi? What's the meaning over here? So this is a very mysterious Tosis. Tosis is saying, every mountain in Israel was served as a Avodah Zarah. What about Har Moriah? The Navi told them to. So don't listen to the Navi. There's an amazing Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says when Avram Avinu came to the Akedah, he saw the Makom Merachayk. The Akedah, he saw the Makom. Har HaMoriah is not a Makom. A Makom is when you see a field and there's nothing there, so you call it a place. Har HaMoriah is a Har. Why does it say he saw the Makom Merachayk? It should say he saw the Har Merachayk. Melamed shemetchila haya makom amayk. You know what Har HaMoriah was originally? Non-existent. It was a valley. And Hashem said, I like this place. Kivin shamar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishvar shechinasa alav la'aseh mikdash. Amar, no, ein derech melech lishkoim be'emek. Avram said, a king can't dwell in a valley. You need at least something. Ela b'makom gavaya, u'me'ula, u'me'yupa, v'ner lekal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned the mountains and they all gathered together and the Shekhinah rested there. That's why Har HaMoriah, m'yurasa shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu yizbarach na'asahar. Comes the Hilgach Sam Sofer in Orachaim Siman Reish Ches in Yoradei Reish Lamed Gimel, and he says, I want to tell you what my Hilgach Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, said pshat in Tosfos is based on the Har HaMoriah, based on the Medrash Tanchuma. Tosfos has a kasha. How could they build a Beis HaMikdash? Don't we have a tradition that they served Avodah Zarah on every single mountain in Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, it was Alpi Navi. What does this mean? Says the Chassam Sofer, he heard from his Rebbe, that every place in Eretz Yisrael is disqualified from using it as a makom of worship, a Takadosh Baruch Hu, because it was already established as a makom of worship too, by the Kenanim. Somebody can come into your house, serve your tables of Avodah Zarah, and aser it, ein adam, right? We know there's a concept that a person, ke ein adam oisar davar she'eino shaloi. But the answer is they got there first. They beat us to it. But there's one place in the world that they were not zoiche. They were not able to... There was one place in the world they were not able to aser as a makom avodah zarah. Har HaMoriah. You know why? Because it wasn't a mountain. So if it wasn't a mountain, they weren't able to serve it. They didn't serve it. It didn't exist. It was an amak. Elamai, it became a mountain, but it became a mountain only because of the tefillah of Avram Avinu. So what happened was, Avram Avinu got there first. He made it a mountain. He was kine it. Once he's kine it, the fact that the goyim later served as Avodah Zarah, ein adam oisa davar shena shaloi, meaning every other mountain in Eretz Yisrael, the goyim got there first, so they ruined it. But Har HaMoriah wasn't a mountain, so even though they worshipped it, it didn't become usher. It became a mountain specifically for Avraham Avinu. And then Avraham Avinu davened, oh, I chapped the mountain, I got it, now it's mine, it belongs to Klal Yisrael, and whatever worship the goyim do will not usher Har HaMoriah. By the way, Rabbi Yonis and Ibishitz brings down the same pshat in Tosfos in Parshas Vayera on the Tfaras Yoinason. And we said today is Krakow Day, so in the Sefer Chanukas HaTorah of the Rebbe of Heschel, the Rebbe of Heschel was the Av Beis Din in Krakow. He was Nifter in 1666. He was the Mamala Mokum of the Megala Amukos. At the end of the Megala Amukos' life, they didn't know who was going to be the next leader of Klal Yisrael, so the Chidah brings down when the Megala Amukos was old. The Kehillah asked who should be the next Rebbe, so the Megal HaMukos opened up the Chumash, and they did a Sheilas Chaloim, and they saw the Pasuk, Hinani Oimed Lefanecha Sham Alatsur. The Rosh Yitevos of Hinani Oimed Lefanecha Sham is Rosh Yitevos Heschel, and Sh'al Hatsur is Gematria Krakow. Says the Megal HaMukos here, the Rebbe of Heschel will be the next Rav in Krakow. The Rebbe of Heschel also says that Har HaMoriah never became Aser, even though every mountain in Eretz Yisrael became Aser, because it wasn't a Har, it was an Emek, and through the Tefillah of Avram Avinu, it was Nesale to become a Har. Mav Rabbeisai, so it comes out, we could say, amazingly, we asked, why would God select Har HaMoriah? if Har Sinai was only selected because of its humility, and we see how humility is the primary characteristic that Rav Shem is looking for, why would he select Hara Maria? You know what? Hara Maria was even more humble than Har Sinai. Har Sinai was Chach, a mountain, albeit a small one, but it was a mountain. Hara Maria was not even a mountain. It was nothing. It was not existent. We could compare Hara Maria and Har Sinai to the humility of Avraham versus the humility of Moshe. Har Sinai was like the humility of Avraham. It was small, it was afar, it was toilas like David. Har HaMoriah was an even greater anav. It was v'nachnu ma, we're nothing, we don't even exist. So look over here in 45, we could say, l'fizeh yesh lefarish, ma'ashabachar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'har HaMoriah, de'har Sinai hoya anav b'b'chinas v'anochi afar v'efer. Har Sinai was humble like the humility of Avraham. Aval Har Moriah bebechinas v'nachnu ma deloy haya har klal. It wasn't even a mountain, it was just a makom. So you'll ask, if Har HaMoriah was so humble, even humbler than Har Sinai, then why didn't God give the Torah on Har HaMoriah? And get a load of this. The answer is, because He did. Hashem did give the Torah on Har Moriah. Vayoytse Moshe ha'am l'krasso Elokim. Moshe took the people toward God. Vayisyatzvu besachtis ha'har. They stood on the foot of the mountain. V'har Sinai oshan kulai. Mount Sinai was smoking. Ask the Baal HaTurim. The rule is first you say the noun and then you say the pronoun. Here it says ha'har, the mountain, and then Har Sinai. It should say besachtis Har Sinai v'ha'har oshan kulai. Says the Baal HaTurim, Melamed Shenitla Shahar Mimakoimai. From here we learn the mountain was uprooted. Vinase Kahara Gabehar. It became a mountain on top of a mountain. The Baal HaTurim seems to be saying there were two mountains by Har Sinai. There was a Har and there was Har Sinai. Har Sinai was Har Sinai. And what was the Har? We don't know. Says the Yalkut Ruveni, I'll tell you what the Har was. Bishas Kabbalas HaTorah Nekar Har HaMoriah Uba LeMidbar Kedei SheTinosein HaTorah Al Mokoyim HaMeula Hazeh. Yaakov Ruveni says the Torah was given on Har Sinai. Har HaMoriah was over the Har Sinai was over their heads. Har HaMoriah was the mountain the Torah was given on. Why was Har HaMoriah selected? Har Sinai we know is selected because of its humility, but why Har HaMoriah? So we could say Har HaMoriah because Har HaMoriah was even a greater anav than Har Sinai. Har Sinai was a har. Har HaMoriah was a makom. Now we understand which shofar blew at Matan Torah. The Torah brings down Siman Tav Yud Zayin, I believe. The shofar of Matan Torah was the Isle of Yitzchak. That was the shofar of Har HaMoriah. That's the connection of the shofar of Yitzchak and Kabbalas HaTorah. Marv Raboisai, coming back to the starting point in the Shir. Now that we learn that humility is not just another good quality, it's not just a quality that all the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, all the great Rabbeim of Klal Yisrael possess. It's not just the primary quality that the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for, and that's why he gave the Torah to Har Sinai. But like the Nefesh HaChaim says, all the godless of Moshe Rabbeinu was because of his anivos, that he was only the greatest anav because he was only the greatest navi because he was the greatest anav. He was only the greatest chacham because he was the greatest anav. What was the mistake of Miriam? The mistake of Miriam was, she said, who does Moshe think he is? Does he think he's a greater Navi than Avraham? Does he think he's a greater Navi than Yeshaya? So if he's not greater than them, why does he have to separate from his spouse? So we ask, so the Torah should fear ice? Yeah, Moshe was the greatest person who ever lived. So why does the Torah talk about his anivos? And now we understand perfectly. After Miriam says, you think, Moshe, you think you're greater than everyone else? So the Torah is made, yes. Moshe was the greatest Navi who ever lived. He was the greatest Chacham who ever lived. Where does the Torah say that? V'ha ish Moshe, anav me'oid, mikael ha'adam, asher al pnei ha'adamah. And if Moshe was the greatest anav, then he was the greatest Chacham, and he was the greatest Gadol. Like Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, and I think Reb Chaim's Yahrzeit is around this time, Reb Chaim says as follows, V'chol ma shezacha hu ba'avur anvasai, ve'ilu haya achshav adam anav kemoisha, haya vadai zoicha l'soira b'shleimos. So where do we see the Torah saying, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest everything who ever lived? V'ha'ish Moshe, anav ma'oid, mikala adam, asher apneho adama. Mav Rabbeisai, wishing everyone a great day. Bracha v'atzlacha. Thanks for listening. Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.